supposed to say again?
What kind of podcast is this?
Oh, this is Bad Play Style. We're a video game book club podcast wherein we talk about the video game we played this week.
NSFW?
Yeah, we swear a lot. And we're going to fucking spoil the shit out of this game.
Yeah, I was going to say, what about secrets?
Yeah, we're going to ruin all the secrets.
Such as?
Such as, Bastil is really your mom.
I said dad.
Doesn't matter.
Hear ye, hear ye. Call to order this meeting of the Bad Play Style. Say your names, gentlemen.
I am not a shame man, not quite a shame boy. No, wait, other way. Scratch that, reverse it. And
it's almost, like, impressive at this point.
Like, go to the Springfield Nuclear Power Plant and set the sign back to zero.
Yeah, yeah.
Keenan fucked up his own
and
name.
He's got it right.
I think you said it, you called him out, like, a couple episodes
Snowflake
ago. You were like,
argumentative.
He's gotten his name right.
Keenan!
Like, three times?
Yeah.
And he's had to say it a lot more than that. Yeah, so it's a statistical anomaly at this point. Yeah.
It's weird, too, because I know what it is. But when it's...
Can't fucking
when
say
the
it.
Light comes on, I fuck it up.
Yeah. Can't speak right like a real person.
Yep.
And I'm Matt. Welcome to Bad Play Style. There's a third person in the room.
I'm Owen.
Oh, yeah. You're just Owen now?
Yeah. He's just Owen. Although, you have to say all of yours. I'm not going to make Owen do that.
Is it only when one's active that we have to say them? Is that the precedent we're setting here?
I think that should be the precedent.
Because that's harder if you forget for a season.
No. Okay, so here's the thing. What I said was, I'm not making Owen do that. I'm making you do that.
Oh, okay.
That's
got
the
it.
Precedent.
Shut up, setting. Squeak. You're my new best friend. Got it.
Let's go boof, Squeak. Yeah. Okay, so this is Bad Play Style, which is a video game book club style podcast. I know we said that in the intro,
yeah.
Kevin and I, but
deal
here, we're going to explain. We don't actually read books on this podcast, but that doesn't matter because there's a thing called a metaphor where you evoke something with a thing that's kind of like it.
But you're not a book club.
But it's not a book.
Glad we cleared the air on that one.
If you got corrections, send them to badplaystyle@gmail.com.
Yeah. So, this time, I keep saying week, I've said week, like, the entire show, but it's never been a week.
Yeah.
It has literally never been a week.
Some episodes do take a week to listen to, though, so that's kind of like...
Yeah. So we played, Shadowrun Returns Hong Kong Edition.
Woo!
That's not the name of the game, really, but
no,
you
there's
get
an extended edition, so I was, like, most of the way there.
Yeah. It was really fun. I picked it because I love Shadowrun. But before we get into that, and spoiling that, and hey, you should play that before listening to this, if you don't want us to spoil it for you.
Yeah, this game actually had some story we're gonna spoil.
Owen, what else have you been playing?
What else have I been playing?
Worth mentioning.
I played the new XCOM DLC.
Oh! Yeah. The new, like, the little missions, the
yeah,
little vignettes.
Yeah.
Mission packs.
Yeah. I feel like it's a good place to use the word vignette, right?
Kinda.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Okay.
Go
on.
It's set in between XCOM 1 and 2.
Oh.
And you play as Bradford, as Captain Sweaters.
Cool.
As I,
hell yeah.
I know him.
Yeah, that's his real name.
And so, like, the narrative framework of it is that he is recounting the tales to you, and he doesn't quite remember all the details, and so that's why, like maybe you play out a little differently than
he
remembers.
You got a little bit of, then I died.
Yeah. Something like that. And so it's you, like scooping up, and so it's just discrete missions.
Right.
Like, you are given a group of people, you don't get to name them, you don't get to equip them, you don't get to pick which classes, you just get dropped onto a map, and he's like, this is like, oh, we fought zombies at a graveyard one time, and like, then you do that.
Didn't they re-render the XCOM 1 assets in those?
It looks like it, yeah.
I think I saw something like that.
Do they have the wobbly rat?
No.
Okay, dang.
But, like, old chrysalids and, like, the armors and the weapons.
But that's my favorite XCOM 1 asset. Is the rat. Look it up. It's like a loaf of bread shaped.
Yeah.
That's with protrusions, and it goes, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it's disgusting.
It's gross.
So the reason I say that is because I think the graveyard tile set is from XCOM 1 and not from XCOM 2.
I think they remastered some of the very
angry
too.
In that graveyard. Yeah,
yeah. None of the enemies that I've seen, as far as I can tell, are callbacks. At least not yet. I've only done a few missions, but it scores you, which I actually don't like.
I hate it when video games score me.
Like you lose 1,000 points if a soldier gets injured. And then you get points for killing enemies, right? And so the reason it does this is this DLC also comes with a daily mode.
So there needs to be
a scoreboard.
That framework is a part of the daily board.
That makes more sense.
There's a daily mission and a leaderboard.
Because I always hated it in like Hitman, when I go in and I kill literally every single human on the map, and it's like, you got 1 star. It's like, no, I got 5 stars.
Yeah. No, nobody knows who did it.
I got 5 stars.
I made international news.
Yeah.
No one knows who did it, and an entire resort is dead.
Like, Interpol's looking for me.
They don't know who they're looking for.
And it looks like there's, like, medals I unlock if I hit certain thresholds of points. I haven't gotten very far in it yet.
Is that per mission, like Worms Armageddon style?
No, so your points carry over mission to mission.
Oh, okay.
And, like, there's, like, a bar filling up.
Okay.
So I don't know how that shakes out. And after every mission, it'll just ask you, like, do you want a bunch of combat sims for your soldiers? Or do you want special ammunition for your soldiers?
It's like a StarCraft 2 style binary choice.
Kind of, but
more resources.
So, like, I picked the special ammunition on one mission, and the mission after that, it asked me if I wanted special armors. You know, like the like little bulletproof vests you can put on under your armor. But it told me this will replace your ammunition on
Dude.
It's that type of thing.
So, like, you have to carry one thing forward.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a power up in an old bullet hell. Like,
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. But I don't think. But that's because the special ammunitions go in the same slot when you're playing the game normally. Because, like, I still had combat sims from a previous mission.
Oh, okay.
It didn't replace those.
Okay.
So it's still using that sort of slot interface without you seeing it?
I think so.
Weird.
Yeah. There were a bunch of weapon models in it I didn't recognize, which I think is cool.
Yeah.
Like, as the missions go, they're over the years, intervening years,
wow.
And so your gear gets better. But, like, in the first mission, like, you have, like, some real-world-looking guns. Like,
Instead of that, like, weird fucking squirt gun assault rifle in XCOM 1.
Yeah, the big blocky ones in the first XCOM. No, it's not those. What's his name? I already forgot his name. Captain Sweaters.
Yeah.
He's a ranger, and he gets this, like, enormous falcata
instead
of, like, a samurai sword.
Of course he does.
But it's, like, a falcata if it thought it was, like, a combat knife. It is ridiculous, and you only get it for, like, 2 missions, and then you upgrade up, like, weapon tiers, and he has, like, a flickering red laser sword after that. But, like, that falcata
is... Just turn a car door into a sword?
You should see it. It's really good.
So what I watched the intro video they put up for that thing, and apparently if you like do well enough at those historical missions, you get like the old weapons to bring with you in XCOM 2.
Oh, okay, cool.
Which is kind of neat. Like,
yeah. So I'll probably play through all these. Like, they're fun.
Yeah.
Also, you can just have it just like randomly generate you a mission.
That's cool.
You know, just like, hey, just give me 6 dudes and some aliens.
Yeah,
and,
let's do this.
Yeah.
I want random XCOM.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else you play?
That's about it. Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's funny that he's a ranger because of the close range quote.
What's he say?
XCOM 1, or the original XCOM from Jake Solomon.
Yeah.
Close range! When you're asking him to, like, capture it. That was him. That was Bradford.
Right, okay.
Right? Telling the...
He's like, why would you ever get close to aliens? That's crazy!
Yeah. And close range is, like, a huge meme. Yeah.
Okay. All right, am I going next about games, or are you?
Sure, why not?
All right. I've played a lot of PUBG, but not in a way I normally do, so I want to talk about this for a second.
Okay.
I started on stream, twitch.tv/SavoryScrimp. I started playing duos with random people on stream, because I thought that'd be, like, fun and entertaining and gives me, like, a way to interact with people that isn't, like, me talking to myself.
Was it awful?
Yes and no. So there were a couple of people that were like super rad, but I had two people who just yelled in their microphone the entire time.
No.
One guy was yelling the same thing over and over in a different language until I killed him because he wouldn't stop.
You shouldn't do that. You can get your account banned for that.
Eh. Worth it. Actually, I punched him. No, I didn't kill him. I punched him enough in the before playing screen that he left.
Oh, okay. I was gonna say, yeah.
That's actually how it went down.
You shouldn't be simultaneously team killing strangers and documenting and streaming it on video and streaming
and mentioning it on my podcast. Yeah. And then the second guy was this dude who like lived in America, but he's from China. So he's got an accent and he's telling me like, "Oh, I love you, bro. Let's play. Let's go. I love you, bro." And then like we drop separately and I'm murdering dudes with my Uzi and he gets killed and he goes, "Oh, my girlfriend says I can't play anymore," and lose the server. So that was this is a weird grab bag of people, man. Like, and sometimes the game just puts you in a duo game by yourself.
Nice.
Like, fuck you, buddy, go do it. Like, so yeah, that's been an adventure. I started playing Factorio while talking to Owen.
Yeah.
That's a good time. Factorio's neat, but we've covered that plenty.
Yeah, and we've been using the Steam streaming feature.
Yeah.
Like, Keenan will, like, run into a problem, so I'll have to, like, jump into
he jacks into my game and looks at it, and he's like, "Oh, you're doing this wrong.
Operator here.
Yeah.
Well, and your nearest telephone's a mile away."
Well, and then the other thing is, like, then I have, like, it's like, "Oh, I know what design of buildings and conveyor belts will fix this problem. Let me open up my own Factorio, build it, screenshot it, and put it in the Discord."
Yeah. This is some weird fucking Telegram-ass shit that we've been doing.
That's been real silly.
And then, what else has happened? That's pretty much it. Should we talk about the thing we mentioned about Dead by Daylight? the addition to our idea?
No.
We'll talk about that some other time.
We'll cook that idea more.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not ready.
Okay.
Yeah. That one's still in the brain oven.
It needs more time in the brain oven. Got it.
Yeah.
All right, Matt, what'd you play?
When I mentioned it to Sean this morning, he did the thing I talked about where he just mentioned something else and moved on. He wasn't interested. I beat Shadowrun Returns twice. So.
Man. Because you played it once one way and then you did it another way, right?
Well, so both of them were Cyber Street Samurais. It was just different weapons.
Okay.
So I really like having 5 AP.
Yeah.
And I really like throwing grenades back.
Fuck you.
And I really like having 10 armor. That seems like the easiest way to do that.
Yeah.
So
that seems like that solves a lot of problems.
Yeah. And because of the way Hong Kong works, you can be an adept and a street samurai at the same time.
Because
you can get free extra essence.
Magic isn't real. Magic doesn't function in the game we played the way it does in the pen and paper game.
Yeah, so, yeah.
So you can game some shit.
Yeah, so I would have the thing that makes me in cover all the time so I can't get crit. And then I'd cut them with my hand razors. And it was good.
Did you play any other games?
Not really. I played a little bit of Warframe, but Warframe's kind of dead right now. They like on the last dev stream they were talking about, they were like, "Oh yeah, we're in a content drought, and we have been for quite some time, because there's like big stuff coming, but they're
rapidly working on it rather than new things.
It should have already come out, but it's not done."
Mm-hmm.
Right, so yeah, I don't really have much to say because we should just dive into the game.
Sure.
So hey, Keenan.
Yeah.
So Owen told me that you were very angry.
I was very angry at this game early on.
Okay. Why?
Because I'm a dumbass, and I didn't read the part of the game where it was like, "Hey, dog, you should level up your crew."
Oh, okay. So I want to repeat, because Owen wasn't there, this conversation where he's like, "Hey, Matt, the game's going much better now that I figured out how to upgrade my crew." And I was like, "Why didn't you know how to do that?" And he was like, "Well, the game never told me." I was like, "No, there is a huge box right after the first mission. Pops up in the middle of the screen, you have to hit okay."
I mean, I missed that too.
Yeah, okay. Like, I don't remember it.
Like, you're taking in a lot at the beginning of the game.
Yeah.
I also, like, totally missed the help menu, despite its very obvious labeling, until very late in the game. So, like, I missed important things.
Yeah.
And that's on me. And maybe that could be a little more obvious, but that's okay.
Well, it doesn't matter now. They're not making another Shadowrun game. So.
So, yeah, I played, like, 6 or 7 missions with, like, a bunch of teammates that hadn't leveled up at all.
Yeah.
Turns out that's important.
Yeah. Yeah, because it doesn't even do the, like, small statistical increases for them.
No, they just jump.
Yeah.
In serious ways.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they leveled, like, 4 times at once when I did it.
That would
I
was do like, it.
Oh, yeah, this is... Okay, you got different guns and armor, and yeah, this all works now. Mm-hmm. And your skills are probably bigger under the hood, but I don't get to see that.
No, you do.
But not, like, in a way that when you level them, you don't see it.
Yeah, you do.
I might see it on their character sheet, but not in the screen where you're leveling.
In the screen where you're leveling, on the left, it tells you what's going up.
Okay.
In a little list. So
there's things in this UI I just don't see, apparently.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, there's so much going on visibly in this game that I miss shit.
Yeah.
And that's kind of Shadowrun and kind of me. Like...
I mean, I never saw... I never noticed which of their stats were better. I just sort of trusted the game's like, my guy's gonna be better, right?
Yeah.
Like,
and then they were.
Definitely.
And then they were.
Like, they'll probably have more hit points and get hurt less. And hurt people more.
Definitely hurt people more. Most of the time, they're not actually getting more hit points. But yeah.
Well, but even, like, one more armor in this game is a big deal.
Yeah,
like,
it is.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure how the armor calculations work, but... Having 10 armor makes you really hard to hurt.
Yeah, even 6 was real good for me.
Yeah.
So, Matt, what is this game?
Oh,
are we done talking about things that are bad about this game?
No, we're not.
No, but we never talked about what the game was. And that's like
so
a thing.
It's a top-down CRPG, you know, isometric view. You're a criminal in a fictional version of the world where magic came back in the early 2000s. In the aughts, and there's, like, people who are elves, and people who are dwarves, and people who are orcs, and people who are trolls.
Lots of elf racism in this game.
Fine.
Yeah, I was just surprised.
I mean, elves are a problem, because it's like, oh, you know, I'm a middle manager, and if I ever want to amount to anything, I need to get promoted, but the person immediately above me is an elf, so that's never happening. So
he's never dying.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, kindly changes, straight up calls them sharps every time.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa! Okay! It took me a minute to realize I was an epithet. Like, whoa, okay, yeah, right.
Yeah. Oh, and you got things to say?
The music in this game is bad.
Yeah, they're only like 2 tracks.
Yeah, it's really bad.
That's a bummer, too. Shadowrun feels like...
It's completely unremarkable and forgettable.
Mm-hmm. And Shadowrun feels like a place where you should have some dope beats. Like,
yeah, and so I turned it off, and I would, like, listen to, like, synth music on my browser. But it does this thing that Star Trek Timelines does, where I have the music slider turned all the way down, and when I load into a new area, the music will be playing at normal volume, but the slider will still be all the way down, so I have to bring it up and then bring it back down again.
Nice, yeah. Also, this game's just fucking loud.
Yeah.
Like, it's when its master volume is all the way up the way it starts, this game is way louder than anything else on your computer.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty loud.
At all times.
Like, and it's got some very interesting menus.
Let me tell you, they're way better than the last 2 games.
like when the game was like, hey, you know, if you get really hurt, there's a way to heal yourself out of combat. And it's like, you click on a med kit, and then it asks you to pick who you're using it on in a menu where you can't see who's hurt. So you just have to click on someone to find out if they're hurt. And then if you go through with using it on them to heal them, it then closes all of these nested menus, and you have to open them all again.
If you want
to
do it again.
Yeah. And it's just like, we all got shot up in that fight. Like, we all had a bad time.
Oh, man. That makes me glad I waited to heal until I was in combat. Like,
well, that's wasted AP, man.
Eh.
It's a big
Everybody
deal.
Lived. It's not wasted.
I could have lived a bit more.
So, basic core story of the game. You get off the boat in Hong Kong with another, an orc.
No, he was already there.
Okay, but you get off the boat and you meet an orc and his partner. And it turns out the orc is like your...
Stepbrother.
Adopted street kid stepbrother. who you grew up in the gangs and then later in, like, a rich guy orphanage.
No.
No?
The squat in the Barrens.
Okay. He's just grabbing kids and helping them out.
Yep. He just picked 2 kids and was like, you guys, I'm going to raise you, right? Because my mom didn't.
Yep. You figure that one out throughout the game. And you proceed to go try and find dad. And then you get ambushed by a bunch of gangers, and then a couple of people die in front of you in a Shadowrun crew, and the cops are after you.
It turns out all the corpo cops have been hired to take you
and
out.
And it's real bad, and you run away, and then you have to burn your identity and become a Shadowrunner.
Yeah.
Which is a self-aggrandizing word for dirtbag.
Yeah, you're a you're a fucking ID-less dirtbag in the wasteland that is Shadowrun.
I don't have an ID. Better do crimes.
Better do crimes for everyone.
Yeah.
Everyone needs crimes, turns out. Lucrative yet dangerous business.
Yeah, you get to work for Kylie Cheng, who rules.
Who totally rules.
She's great. She's family.
Yeah, she's better than the other fixers.
Yeah.
That have been in the video games before.
She's better than your dad.
Yeah.
Your dad in this game kind of
sucks. Like, by a mile.
Yeah.
I was always very polite with Auntie, because she fucking deserves
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Owen and I both hit a point, we were all in Discord playing last night, and Owen's like, Matt, I need to know right now, does Kindly Chain betray me? And he's like, do you want to know? And he's like, yes!
Well, that's like the Shadowrun thing.
Right? Yeah, like, your fixer's gonna fuck you, like, that's a thing.
Yeah.
But it turns out she doesn't, and it's great, and now you can like her.
Like, I was worried that, like, oh, the reason they're making her so likable is so that
it's
I will be...
she's gonna stab me later.
Yeah, it's because I will be very hurt yeah. when she betrays me.
Which would be effective.
She is, like, a crime lord, and she does steal medical supplies during a crisis.
Yeah, but then she also handed them out.
Yeah.
And she so sends like, you to threaten one of her guys, like, immediately.
Yeah. Like, but at the same time, she recognizes that guy over there gets stuff done for me.
Yeah.
And I need that.
Well, yeah, because, like, even by the end of the game, like, the conversation you have with her later is she's like, oh, yeah, our partnership. And you're like, wait, what?
Yeah.
And she's like, go to bed.
You look like shit.
Yeah. I was like, yes, Auntie, I look like shit.
Yeah, I started using those. Yeah. At the end, Duncan's like, you look like shit. I was like, get used to it.
Yeah.
What kind of characters do we play?
Well, so first I made two characters because I beat the game twice. Because I don't know. Something wrong with me, but I mean
you like good games, it's okay.
So I made an elf, and the elf was at first an adept, and then I realized there was no support for gun adepts, so became a Street Sam after that. And so the whole thing was that I would have Gobbit give me an extra AP, and then I would wired reflexes myself another AP, and then have a third one from the game just giving it to me.
Yeah, there's a point in the game where it's just like, hey, have another action.
Oh, so AP is like your move. It's like how many moves you get on your turn.
Or shots. It works like the AP in XCOM.
Yeah, so...
Where you can use it for a vague amount of distance or an action.
Yeah. Or some shoot types take
my,
two.
My whole thing is that I had the Remington Room Sweeper and the Silver Falcon or the Mega Falcon or whatever, the pistol that's got burst fire on it. And so I would run behind enemies so they were in cover to me, not anymore, and then I would just crit them a bunch.
You flank them and shoot all of them.
Yeah, and it worked really well, and it was fun because I couldn't get shot because I had, like, really a lot of quickness because I had a bunch of cyber limbs and gave me quickness.
And boosting that dodge stat real good.
Yeah, so...
And guess what? It uses the same stat your shooting does!
Yeah, so it was just all quickness, all the time elf with a minor in charisma. Yeah, that was my first character. And his name was Lou Philip Diamonds. His street name was LPD. And then my second character was Dank, the troll. His real name was Grant Runyon. Which
dual
is
dual income, no kids, though.
His dual income, no kids, but his real name was Grant Runyon, which is the thing that the reporter says in Frisky Dingo when her brain's being infected by ants, instead of her real name. I don't know why I just suddenly remembered that.
Boom!
And then his whole thing was
Boosh.
Pretty much the exact same build, but I'm going for strength this time, okay. And I have hand razors.
Okay. What race was he?
He was a troll.
Yeah, okay.
So,
yeah.
Eventually, I would just walk up to somebody and with a single AP be like, hi, I just did 70 damage to you. And I have 3 more AP left.
Elves is for quickness. Trolls is for strength.
Hi. And just, you know, destroy them. And that was great. And then...
Was there any armor rip on that?
Sometimes.
Okay.
But cool. It really didn't matter.
No, if you're doing that much damage, like...
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Because everyone has 30 hit points until the end.
Yeah. In the extended, everybody starts doing AP damage, but if you have enough armor, you can ignore that. What did you make, Owen?
I made a troll.
Okay.
His first name is Ding, and his last name is Dong. His name is Ding Dong. And then his street name was Ding Dong.
You got a lot of good dialogue options out of that.
Yeah, and so, like, at the point in the game where, like, your character's identity gets erased, they're like, dude, you can't use your birth name anymore. You're off the grid. What's gonna, you're gonna have to use your street name now. Ding Dong, what's your street name? And it's like, I am no longer Ding Dong. I am now Ding Dong. And Ding Dong is incredibly stupid, 11 strength troll with an enormous sword.
Yes.
And good. Really, not much else. Like,
that's honestly, that's all you need.
We're going to do one thing and one thing only.
Yeah. Like, him and his best friend charge into combat and slap people with swords until they fall over.
So this
his
morning,
best friend, the
I
ghoul.
Tried to copy you because I was like interested in melee weapons. I was like, how does that work? I want to see it in action on a troll with a lot of strength. So I made a troll this morning copying you. Also because I found out that there's a sword, but when you kill somebody with this sword, you get an AP next turn and it stacks.
Oh, wow.
So with the hand raiser guy, I would like kill three people in a turn regularly, right?
And so I want to do that with that sword.
I was thinking, hey, it would be really cool if I had 8 AP next turn, right?
You just keep the party going.
Yeah, keep the party going, exactly. Did you have anything else to say about that?
I didn't have any good stories about his combat, really, other than just like, he hits people with swords really hard and shoots lightning out of his sword. He has a magic sword.
Yeah. You know, the Emperor's sword's really good.
Yeah, it's very good.
I made a gun elf too, and I ended up using the same handguns you did.
Mm.
Partly because you said that, but I played it more like a from cover thing.
Mm.
That worked okay. Yeah. It worked all right.
It's all about the crits, man.
He wasn't my heavy hitter, but he did good AoE, so it worked out.
Those crits.
Yeah, I didn't really exploit that. Even though I was wearing like the hazard suit, like the highest armor I could get.
It feels so good to run around the corner on somebody. Pull out the Silverhawk and just be like, blat, blat, and be like, I just did 64 damage to you.
Yeah, see,
how
are
you feeling?
I wasn't
that was one AP. Would you like me to do it some more?
Right? I wasn't putting up Iron Man numbers like that, yeah. So. But I still had fun. It was good.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
What was hella good about this game?
Are we done with what wasn't good?
I mean,
does anyone else have more not good?
I don't really have any complaints about this game. Other than, like, Harebrained kind of makes, like, a jank product where if you don't do the game in the way that they imagined you did it, it's not very robust in, like, if you kind of get off the rails.
Yeah.
You know? Like, the game sort of breaks down.
I had some UI frustrations in that, like, it's really hard to... The clicking where you want to click feels really loose.
Yeah.
And by that I mean, like, it's either incredibly hard to stand next to a friend of yours because you're overlapping them and it thinks you want to click them,
mm-hmm.
and it's impossible to highlight the square behind them,
mm-hmm.
or it's really easy to, I'm going to shoot that guy, and instead you run next to him. And both of those things frustrated me a lot.
They're real bad for them to happen.
Yeah.
I
did a lot of loading because the game didn't do what I told it to.
Do you remember where you get the plastic face, man?
Yeah.
So there's this part where you need to kidnap this dude, and, like, zap him with the thing so he doesn't erase the memories you need to interrogate out of him.
You basically taser him, but it has a 3-turn delay.
Yeah, so, when I did that, I did it at the mistress's house.
Yeah.
And I stunned him and used Duncan's subdue ability on him. because that's Duncan zip-tying a guy because he's knocked out. And the game was like, oh, he's dead. You killed him. That's bad. And I was like, what? Excuse me? Did he zip tie his fucking throat? Like, what happened?
I didn't know that was a thing, but also, like, does not surprise me at all that that's how
Duncan,
like,
overdoes
that's
it.
That's how the game would think about it.
That's how the game reads that situation.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, man.
So there's a lot of, I feel, there's a lot of situations where, like, it's very clear that Harebrain didn't, like, budget enough QA time. Mm-hmm. Right, like
I mean, like the whole game has these like it's a great game, but it, like all over it has these trappings of like just like not enough production value,
mm-hmm. yeah,
like,
not enough polish.
Like I remember like when I beat the game and it has like more narration by Raymond at the mm-hmm. end of the game. It was like, this is really bad. I forgot this is really bad because I haven't heard him talk since the beginning of the game. But like
that voice acting is rough.
That read is not good, and like.
Yeah, whenever the screen goes black and it starts playing music and not showing me the UI again, I hit double escape every mm-hmm. time because I don't want to watch any of the cutscenes.
They're not that helpful. Like,
no, there's one where you see like Quan Ya and you're like, oh, that's the thing I'm going to fight at the end of the game. Cool.
Yeah. Oh man, that spooky shadow thing must be a bad guy.
Oh man. Fucking Gaichu, when we fought it at the end, had 100% crit chance.
Yeah!
Yeah.
Like... He went to town on her.
That fight was Duncan stripping armor with the sandblaster.
The sandblaster, and everyone else
just piling in.
Okay, so in that mission, the mission where you you get contacted by the Tunanog spy, and he's like, "Help me defeat the Sulpa Ring, the Korean gangsters." If you side with the Korean gangsters in any meaningful way,
yeah, they give you a fucking AP shotgun.
They give you the sandblaster, and the sandblaster is amazing.
Anti-armor shotgun. It's great.
If you side the other way, you get the Korean guy's gun. Do you know what that is?
No.
It's a submachine gun, which, first of all, vomit sounds.
Right.
Submachine guns are bad in this game, unless you're really good at stripping armor, which submachine guns aren't good at, so... but this gun has minus 10% accuracy and always hits people near its target.
Oh, it's but I already have that gun a different way.
But later. I already have shotguns, so... Yeah.
That gun was at a vendor later.
I don't want it.
Yeah. Plus, like, that dude's gonna fucking kill you for doing your job. Fuck him.
Yeah.
Like, that's not how this works.
Yeah, in that mission, I killed everybody.
Did you?
Both times.
Nice.
I said, screw both of you guys.
No, I didn't. I didn't vent the other dude, because I was like, I'm gonna need friends at the end of the game.
Yeah.
My thinking was, I need friends. So, the Shadowrun crew you run into at the tower, they were my buds. Mm-hmm. And then that dude too, because I was like, I'm new in town, I need friends.
Oh, I fucking dunked those runners.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
When did you dunk them? As soon as you saw them?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they were like, how is this gonna go? And I'm like, it's gonna go like this.
That's awesome.
It's funny, because I'm pretty sure those are like people's characters.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, I'm
those,
sure.
Those they, aren't like...
And they give you intel at the end. They help you with the last mission.
Yeah.
Like, you call in your marker with them. And I think it also makes it so that your hacker is better at dealing with their shit.
Oh, okay. That's not something that was important
to
me. Yeah,
no.
Yeah. I like how hacking is super optional until the very last mission.
I didn't like that because...
I liked it until that part.
Yeah, I got to the last mission and I was like, holy shit, what the fuck am I doing?
Yeah.
I used the developer console in this game at two points in the game, and one was at the very beginning, and I'll explain that in a minute, and the other time was at the end of the game where, like, I realized what the hacking game
was,
and I was like, no, I have AP. I have all the AP. I don't want to fucking deal with this. I want to, like, play, like, I want to run around and slap things with swords.
I want to go back to Meat Space and do Meat Space things. Get me out of this weird computer hell.
So one thing I will say is I really enjoyed the sequences where your Decker is jacked in,
mm-hmm.
doing a thing, and everyone else is, like, covering them.
Yeah.
Like, those sequences were really fun for me.
That stuff is cool. It's more like... I didn't like having to do the low-rent stealth game run-around patrols and vision cone stuff in a game that's, like, really not built very well for it.
Yeah, so that's one thing I will say is that in the last game, in Dragonfall, all the hacking stuff was just more tactical combat, but in the computer. Like, that part's fine. But the vision cone shit... Yeah. That's dumb.
Well, and like, the timing on everything is so floaty that's just hard to execute on.
The fucking minigame with the, like, putting the numbers in thing.
Oh, fuck that shit.
Yeah, like...
It's like numpad Simon, and then you have to match a code.
I think the idea behind Trace, like, building up, and then the ice goes off, like, that's a cool... thematic thing because you're like, oh, if like it makes it so like if you're badass enough to like get in and out without getting tons of trace, like it feels cool, right?
Well, or like I never really tried it, but is there a combat button in cyberspace the same way there is in Meat Space?
You can bust
where you
out
can
your
just be like pew and shoot that dude.
But if you initiate combat with a watcher, you get the +20 trace as soon as you hit them.
Okay,
so it, like, yeah, and then
there's no actual sneak attack.
No.
Okay, that's a bummer.
It is cool though, because late. Okay, so if you do Isabel's mission, her like main mission, she gets a special program from Rhombus if you do it correctly, where her attacks chain now.
Oh, all of
her attacks chain. And I was really worried that it was going to start chaining to
unspotted
watchers,
but
it automatically misses them. That's which good. I thought, like, it was one of those things where I was like, "Hairbrain, did you think about this?
Yeah.
are you gonna fuck this up for me?
Yeah." the few sequences where my Decker is like in the corner of the room and we're all guarding the door,
yeah,
or like that last fight in the tower where you're putting dad back together.
Yeah, yeah.
That's those exactly are like peak of. Shadowrun experience.
Yeah, yeah.
Where your Decker's like, I'm in there, and your other guys are like, hurry the fuck up, because yeah. they're shooting everything outside. Yeah, like
Gobbit is hiding behind a desk, yep. unloading her TMP, and covering her yep. head, screaming because she's 19 years old.
Yep. Yeah, like, that had a really, like, that fight was like, this is Shadowrun in a way that's properly executed.
So I noticed that in early levels, Gobbit doesn't know how to Overwatch with her TMP.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is very, like...
There's a good
like,
growth
it's
there.
Very evocative of, like, I'm a teenager with a submachine gun who knows yeah. magic. I'm gonna do crime.
I have a gun and I do magic and yeah. I'm good at magic. I have this gun because I need it for this job.
Yeah. I have a gun because Shadowrunners have guns.
Not because I'm good or anything.
Having a gun, makes me adult.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a force in young people that cannot be
yeah.
Like underestimated.
Yeah. Guns is power. Power is adulthood.
Yeah, yeah, I did think it's funny that like the ship is like your hideout is organized by level of adulthood.
Yeah,
right? Yeah. Like the yeah. adults
there
are
is
on
an
the
age
bottom
strata
floor,
on the right? ship. It's yeah,
like, I'm gonna go talk to the psychopaths. Also, I'm gonna go talk to the adults. Hey, Gaichu. Hey, Rector. How was your day? We can have a rational discourse.
You're talking with the weird guy who does robots in the basement.
Yeah.
He is literally Donatello. He does machines. Yeah. And you're ghoul.
He's a self-diagnosed psychopath as well. Yeah. He doesn't have, like, emotions towards other people at
nope.
all.
No. See, yeah. I it wasn't until you mentioned that you could have him in your party that it even occurred to me, because when we moved into the ship, they mentioned that there was, like, there's Russian neighbors.
There's a dude in the basement and no one talks to him. It's
yeah,
fine.
Yeah, and so I assumed, like, I went down there once and met this guy, and he's like, yeah, I live here. I was like, oh, cool, sorry to bother you. I didn't mean to, like, barge into your house.
My bad, dude.
Yeah, like, I'll go upstairs and do crime.
I talked to them a little bit, and then every time Matt came, he's like, is Rector in your party? I was like, no, I didn't get that option.
Rector's so cool!
I didn't get that option. Like, I'd probably use him because drones seem cool, and there's a lot of places where I should use drones.
There's all these parts and levels where you'll see a vent on the wall,
yeah.
and it'll have, like, a diamond on it. Like, you can interact with this vent. And if you have drones... Like, if you have Rector, you can send it into the vent.
Yeah.
And, like, do an objective a different
do
way.
Do stuff.
You know? So, which is cool.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing, like, that this game does that reminds me of older CRPGs, is it's very good about rewarding the choices you make with your characters.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I think we were all hanging out, and I was like, man, etiquettes are dope in this game.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of the social things in this game is that your character can learn social etiquettes of different groups. And then when you encounter those people, you get dialogue options that make sense in that situation for your social wizardry. Also, playing a talkie character in this game is awesome because of it.
Like, yeah, because it's like, oh, all these horrible things I would have to deal with, I suddenly don't.
Right, like, right. You can talk your way out of combat and then still be good at combat when it needs to happen in a way that I really enjoyed.
I like etiquettes in this game because in the last one, etiquettes were all just different ways to make slightly more money.
No.
Like, if you did an etiquette, you'd get money. In this one, there are actually ways to, like, deal with the objectives, which is cool.
I saw those come up grayed out quite often.
Yeah.
Ding Dong is not a clever man.
Yeah.
Or yeah, I remember in the DECCON mission, Isabel says, just be your charming self. And you're like, is that an insult or a compliment? And I was like, well, it kind of depends on your character.
Kind of depends on what you built, man.
It could go either way. One thing I will say is Harebrain's really good at evoking classic Shadowrun feel and writing dialogue to support that.
Yeah, I think the writing is very good.
Yeah, the dialogue writing is really good. One thing I will say is there's too much of it. Anyway, sorry.
The descriptions of characters in dialogue windows I found to be incredibly evocative.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's very good at giving enough.
That's why you like Chen.
Yeah.
Is because of those things, where she's like idly playing with Mahjong tiles,
or
like swilling shots.
Yeah, or like hucking up like tobacco,
yeah.
A phlegm in her throat.
Or like a duct tape revolver.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, yeah. There was a part I was talking to Matt last night where like the page says like there's like exquisite liquor on the table, and there's neatly arranged Mahjong tiles and nice tablecloths, and a high velocity pistol with a grip wrapped in electrical tape.
Which like... Yeah, it captures the aesthetic of grimy Shadowrun in a really good way.
Mm-hmm.
And then it there's so much characterization throughout that buffers that even better.
Right.
Like the fucking Shadowrun nanny. Did you guys talk to her?
No.
What?
So there's an orc who lives in the village that's like your home base.
Mm.
And if you talk to her, she's from the Philippines, and she used to be a nanny, but shit went bad, and she had to start shadow running. Mm. And she's like, if she likes you, she invites you over for Lumpia. Like, that's it's this good. Rad thing. Like, she's like weird Shadowrun nanny lady. She can't go back home because some shit went down. So she's just everyone's mom here. Like,
So I'm very excited to try it. You guys remember the mission with the vampire?
No, I didn't do that.
Oh, okay, so if you do the mission with the vampire right, she shows up on the last mission to help you.
Oh, cool.
Okay. And you can get an achievement for having Gaichu and her in your party at the same time.
Wow.
And it's a party full of monsters.
Nice.
Gaichu ate her.
Oh, cool.
I really like Gaichu's bite attack.
Yeah.
So Gaichu's a ghoul who's a samurai.
Yeah, he's a Rinraku red samurai, if you care.
Yeah. So. But, like, one of his abilities he gets is he can just, like, start chomping on you.
And he gets healed and does damage.
He gets healed, and gets a heal over time put mm-hmm. on him, and gets a buff to his own strength.
Yeah.
So, for Gaichu, it's always his opening move yep. in combat. It's just like, just go chomp the nearest person.
Yeah, anytime he had, middle grade health, anytime it was yellow, I'd be like, yo, bite
no,
that dude.
No, no, you do it from the outset, because it gives him a heal over time effect, too. Okay. So, that way, he can get back the damage he will inevitably take by yeah. running into the open with his sword over his head.
Yeah, by being the dive at everyone samurai, he's yeah. already healing.
Yeah, and it buffs his strength.
And know, every so. Two turns he bites people.
Yeah,
I get an immense amount of joy in imagining the noises Gaichu makes.
Oh yeah,
during his turn.
Yeah, he's the best.
He's the best character, and also a complete social detriment in every situation.
So, neither of you guys played it, but if you play the extended campaign, the part where you go back at the cops and, like, attack them for mm-hmm. fucking with you in the first place, if you take Gaichu on that mission where you go to the police station, mm-hmm. if you don't have 7 charisma, a fight starts immediately.
That happened when I went to... The party, the guy who hires you to go fuck with the other guy's
Yeah, sitcom. The vampire mission, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, when we walked in, someone, like, tried to make a big deal out of it. Yeah. And it's like, okay, so, like, here's the deal. If you make a big deal about him being a ghoul, I'm gonna make a big deal out of him being a ghoul.
Like, you need to chill the fuck out.
Yeah. I really like the opening conversation with him, where he's like, oh, I guess you're just gonna shoot me now, right? And you're like, wait... You're not eating me? Yeah, what's going on?
Because there's tons of ghouls where you grew up.
Right.
Right, like in the Redmond Barrens are just littered with those yeah. guys.
And ghouls are bad news traditionally in Shadowrun, so that there's one that's talking.
They're traditionally animal-grade yeah. intelligence.
It's the difference yeah. between feral ghouls and regular ghouls in modern Fallout. Like, yeah. like yeah. what? You're talking? Why? What's yeah. going on?
The other thing is, so in that first room... Gaichu's dinner is sitting on the table, yeah. but this is before you've ever met him.
Yeah.
And one
yeah,
of the options, one of the options when you, I know you did, you have an achievement for it. one of the options is you can go up there and eat his meat.
Yeah.
And then if you, in the vampire mission, drink the wine on the table before the vampire's there, you have drank human blood now.
Nice.
And you get an achievement for doing both those things.
Oh, nice. Okay.
And I noticed you had that achievement, so yeah. you definitely stole that lady's wine.
Yeah, well also, like, when you eat his food, like, everyone's like, what the fuck is wrong with
yeah,
you?
Yeah, Gobbit is so mad.
Yeah.
Just like, they're just like, that's gross as hell.
Gobbit's got, like, stuff about food.
It's like, dude, it's free food, man. Like, cool.
Did you notice that Gobbit keeps the maintenance uniform from Prosperity Tower in later missions?
No, because I never used Gobbit.
Okay, so...
that's so good.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. But, yeah, so if you use Gobbit in Prosperity Tower, when you get into the maintenance uniform, mm-hmm. she starts, like, being like, oh, shit, my ass looks great in this. Like,
yeah.
this fits so good. I'm keeping this.
Yeah.
And if you go speak to her in the bolt hole, after that, she's wearing it instead nice. Of her normal combat armor.
So it's like in Hackers, like Serial Killer just keeps that tool yeah. belt for the rest of the game.
And it's like weird, but not weird.
Yeah. I mean, he's the guy who's always just got shit strapped.
He's just weird anyway. Yeah, like yeah. It fits.
You're referring to Matthew Lillard's greatest role.
I want to commission a concept artist and send them a picture of the. That Shadowrun First Edition picture where the
yes.
Amerind ancients are hacking the ATM.
Yes.
I want to send them that picture.
That rad
and then a picture of Matthew Lillard from Hackers.
Yeah.
And then, like...
do it.
Like a circuit board covered in feathers. And be like, just, come on. What do you got?
Yo, that First Edition Shadowrun art, the fucking Mohawk elf.
Mm-hmm.
That's like... That's weird iconic shit to my 8-year-old brain.
Yeah.
In a way that's awesome. Like...
Yeah, Shadowrun's been around for a really long time.
80s Shadowrun art rules.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, Shadowrun's great because it's an 80s future, so it's all fucked up.
So, remember when we were talking about Fallout 1 and just the act of being in turn-based combat in this system feels good?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel the same way about the Shadowrun Returns games. Just the action of it is really fun. And I feel like there's a deeper swing of how powerful and different your character can do stuff in this game, and it makes it even more fun for me. I want to try a mage next time, but I keep just making Street Samurai.
The pre-made characters do a really good job of displaying how each thing works.
Yeah, but you've only had a mage in one of them.
Really?
Yeah. There was only a mage in Dragonfall. Actually, no, he wasn't even a mage. They changed the way spells work. He was a shaman. Never mind.
I don't like that. If I don't like the pre-made characters that are in the game,
mm-hmm.
like if I don't like how they work in combat, like
there's very little option.
That's kind of what I got.
Yeah.
Like for me, the way I think of my party is it's my character, Duncan, Gaichu, and then I guess I'll bring Isabel because I have a fourth slot.
Yeah.
These other people suck and cost money.
Benefited from Rector.
Yeah. I hired out one of the rent-a-mercs mm-hmm. one time. And was very disappointed I didn't just have him next time. I would have liked to just use him for the rest of the game.
But you also don't want to pay for him every mission.
Yeah, I don't want to pay 450 New Yen every single mission that I take him out, so.
Yeah, that's like most of the cut you'll get.
Yeah.
That's like easily a third, if not. Yeah.
Especially since his character looked ridiculous.
Did you take Illuminati?
I took Il Duce.
Il Duce, the last guy.
He has like a very friendly, soft-looking face.
Fuck Illuminati.
but he's like wearing like a leather jacket and shit and has a shotgun and a sword. And it's just like, you're great.
Yeah.
Fuck Illuminati. I talked to that dude in the club once. I was like, you get the fuck away from me. That guy. No.
Yeah.
None of that guy.
He's an insane person.
No, that guy.
I don't know if I have too much more to say about this game. Like,
okay.
I mean, we don't.
It does what it does, and it's cool.
It's good.
Oh, Owen, did you feed Dad to the machine?
Yeah.
Matt comes, he's like, did you let him do it? And I was like, yeah, not my fucking mess.
Yeah, like, it's actually, getting the good ending in this game is pretty hard.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is that the bad ending? Really?
It's the medium ending. It's like the normal ending.
It seemed like the right thing
to do.
No,
I mean, like, yeah, I was surprised that there's a better ending than that. But
I guess you do it yourself?
No.
You feed Duncan?
If you did enough research and, like, did enough dreams in the main story,
okay.
You know enough about, like, Yama King legend that you can, like, kung fu her back to where she came from without taking anything.
So,
but it's not even kung fu. It's just like you know enough magical bullshit about like deals with Yama Kings that you can be like, hey, fuck you, get out of here. I know the rules.
I did like that she does this thing.
I know the rules, get the fuck out.
She did this thing that demons do in fantasy fiction sometimes that I fucking love where she's like, you can't kill me. I'm actually unkillable. And your characters are like, okay, but like, is she actually killed or is she just lying to us because she's a demon? And then we like killed her two turns
later. Let's show this bitch how we do things downtown. Yeah. Like.
And then you kill her super hard and she's like, wow. No, let's do that again.
Yeah. I tried to cut, like, I chose the dialogue option after the first fight where I was like, nah, we're going to make a deal. And everyone in my party's like, wait, what? And then like, there was no deal. Like, I didn't have enough information to talk my way through it. So we just kept fighting her.
Yeah.
But everyone was like, wait, what the fuck are you doing, dude? And I'm like, I'm trying to talk my way out of it like I always do.
The bad ending is that you can make her leave and voluntarily give her
Raymond. Can. Yeah.
Okay. And she keeps the city of Kowloon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was one of the options. It's like, we'll leave and let you have it. Yeah, and I was like, that's not.
The achievement is called Just One City. and like you talk to Kindly Chen afterwards and you're like, so what would have happened? Like she's like I don't really care either way, like you killed this demon entity, and you're like, why not, we like saved the world. And it's like, you saved like one square block of shit I didn't care about. You know, and like honestly,
that ending's a super downer.
Honestly, if you had died in there, we would have just given the demon Kowloon, and then that would be the new normal,
called it a day. Right? Yeah,
like that would be the new normal because weird shit happens every day.
Yeah, like that entire last conversation with her is this level set about like, yo, what you did, like that's cool.
But it doesn't
really matter.
It doesn't matter at all.
Like, grand scheme? Yeah. Nah. No one cares.
Yeah, it's a bigger version of when the reporter's like, I don't give a fuck.
No, like the reporter starts that conversation and she ends it.
Yeah. Well, it's a good juxtaposition when you go into Kowloon and like the cops are there and they won't let people go in to rescue their families and they just start mowing down families and you can or cannot intervene.
Yo, those cops all died.
Yeah, well, they all died. Yeah. But like, how did any of the people live?
They were all like magic crazy and fought me, so.
Oh, really?
There's two different encounters. There's first encounter where you have to get those them and get the detonator. Those people lived. And then there's the second encounter where all the citizens are also zombies.
Yeah, everyone's magic crazy at a certain point. So. But that was cool because they were fighting cops for a while and absorbing cop bullets while I was killing the cops. But then they were like super magicked up nine armor people, and I was like, that's
Matt,
a problem.
I wanted to ask you about your other troll you made. Mm. When you made a sword troll like mine, did it give you a fucking melee weapon when you started the game?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I always choose the custom.
Okay.
Look, did you choose archetype?
Or... I don't know.
Okay. So I chose the custom, and I didn't put any points into anything except swords, and that's how you ensure that you have a sword. Okay.
They gave me a fucking throwing knife. That was the other time I opened the developer menu. It's like, I started with only a throwing knife, and my guy's like ludicrously strong, and I'm still finding my feet in this game, and I got my ass kicked on that first encounter.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I died
repeatedly. That fight could be really hard if the systems weren't
cleared. I died repeatedly trying to get out of there, and I was just like, I'm not letting this game bring me to a halt like right here at the beginning.
Yeah. All right. Anybody? You should play this game.
It's fun. Shadowrun Hong Kong. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Good modern CRPG. It's a good juxtaposition to Fallout, which was our last episode.
It does a good job of like harkening back to what was good about CRPGs while having like a more modern interface, which admittedly is kind
of
jank sometimes.
I think some of its interface does not feel very modern.
Yeah, some of its visuals are pretty opaque.
Specifically that healing menu feels straight out of the 90s.
Yeah. To be honest with you, I never actually used that menu. This is the first time I'm hearing about that.
Yeah.
Because I did all my healing magically. So
I believe you would exist, but I never did it.
All right. So now we're gonna do what's called the Not Real Game Awards,
woo!
Where we afford a nebulous aesthetic that is named after a thing we like or don't like. A number between 1 and 5.
It's all Howard. About feelings.
How many Todd Howards are we
How many Todd Howards do we give this game? I'm going with 0. I feel a strong 0.
Yeah.
This game is very crafted.
Yeah. And then Brandon Chung.
Like a 1?
I don't really feel a Brandon Chung in this one.
Yeah.
No. I'm on 0.
Okay.
All right. Nita Freeman. I'm 1 or 2.
Yeah, there's some feelings. I had some feelings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Two.
I'm feeling 1.
Okay.
2. Well,
let it be known. Simon Vicklund.
Okay. No, but the music sucks.
I gotta sit and perk. Okay.
Yeah, but like the fact that the music really sucks.
It does drag it down. You're right. Yeah. Like,
is it like a 3?
Yeah, I'm thinking a 3. I was going to say 4, but then you said the music thing, so I'm thinking 3.
Okay, I'm fine with that.
Like, it'd be one thing if there was a variety of bad music that was kind of good.
But there's really like, only the one
it's
song.
It's like the 2 songs.
Yeah, the 1 or 2.
There's the menu song and the game song, and that's it.
J.E. Sawyer. I'm on 4.
4?
Because there's a little bit of jank, but the whole thing is kind of in that mode.
It's all very crafted.
Yeah.
Specifically.
And it all kind of like, it's got themes.
I'm thinking like a 3 or 4, but I'd be all right with a 4.
Break the tie.
I'm cool with 4.
Okay.
Yeah. We don't get too many J.E. Sawyers rolling through here, so.
No, we really don't. But that doesn't mean we should do them more.
No.
It just means they matter more when they come.
I feel like this game of the options gets it.
Jeff Bezos.
I mean, it's Shadowrun. Like, is.
Like, I wasn't even thinking about it. I was heavy on the 0.
Literally fighting corporate overlords.
Yeah, I was heavy on the 0, but the themes here are in line with
futility in the face of capitalism.
Yeah, because you do kind of, like, you lose against the corpse every time.
So, like, you lose against the corpse every time, and also, like, the meta plot of, or, like, the overall plot of the game is that they literally built an engine that siphons the prosperity and wealth of poor people
into one rich person.
And whisks it away into a boardroom.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So, what,
so like
is
a
that,
3?
What does that net us? A 3 makes me feel queasy. Owen, how do you feel? I'm one of two.
I've been opposed to the Jeff Bezos Award since its inception, but I'm going to say a three.
Okay. All right.
Like, if any time now.
Yeah. Like, all right. That was...
I can't think of a more corporate evil game as far as, like...
That was interesting. All right. Tarn Adams.
Zero.
Yeah, none. I'm on zero.
None.
Tarn Adams is a unique enough bird that he doesn't come up much.
Jake Solomon.
I'll give it like a three.
Yeah.
I'm on four.
Okay. I was leaning towards two, so I'll go with three.
Actually, so, yeah, I'm on three, because I was thinking about this earlier. Whenever somebody died, I was just annoyed. Right?
Yeah, like, I wasn't attached to the other characters right. in a...
And the game's not lethal enough.
In a, like, combat sense.
I have a question for you guys, actually. I had Isabel, like, completely die in a mission... And she just came back earlier. Is that supposed to happen?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. If okay. they go all the way to zero, you just can't use them for the rest of the mission.
Oh, okay.
But you, like, drag them out of there and fix them
oh,
up.
Okay, yeah. okay.
And if they have a trauma kit in their inventory or you use it on they them just within three it. Turns.
Yeah, yeah then, no, that yeah. We just didn't have one.
Yeah. Yeah, they completely died. They went back to base.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So
I was wondering if that's because I played on easy difficulty or because she's just that critical to the plot because you have to deck a bunch in the
yeah.
last
Yeah, you really do.
That's the other thing I think I should have done is I should have played it on easy so that my dumbass things in the beginning didn't hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
But I played it on normal the whole way.
This is a thing we harp on a lot. Play it at whatever difficulty you want to play it yeah, at, because... Yeah.
There's no wrong way to play
and it. Even if that means making your own difficulty settings with Cheat Engine, man.
Yeah, dude, like, fine.
There's no
yeah.
wrong way to yes. play. Like, yeah. We're bad playstyle for yeah. a reason.
My bad playstyle is played on the easiest setting, and if that's still too hard, use cheats.
My Blatt...
Because the game cheats!
My Blatt playstyle is looking up walkthroughs of Metro 2033.
Yeah, yep, yep.
Yeah, fuck that.
Because that game is obtuse. Alright, we're coming down to the wire here. Cardboard computers. How many cardboard computers does this game
yeah,
have?
Yeah, it lacks the soul.
Okay. I feel like it does some... Dragonfall did more weird stuff
like that. I think it has Shadowrun's soul, but Shadowrun's soul does not have the depth required for cardboard All computers. Right.
And then we have a new thing going on this time. Owen, you came up with this sort of, I was there.
Yeah.
I gave notes, but like, yeah. you know, go ahead.
So this is the Moira Brown, what did we settle on the name? The Moira Brown Memorial Award.
Yeah.
So this is for a game that...
it's for a specific NPC.
For a specific NPC, but also generally, it's for the games that have the courage to take a character and build them up and write them up in a big way and give the player the option to completely obliterate that character and not see it. To have the courage to let the player destroy...
Obliterate them the moment they see them.
Destroy their creation.
Destroy a large amount of work or artwork or voice lines. Yeah.
To have the courage to let the player miss out on content.
This is named after Moira Brown of Fallout 3 because...
Because she died.
Because she died and she did not die and she came back. That she is the unkillable Fallout...
I was doing a bit.
Oh.
She's the reason I nuked that town and yeah. then I fucking flipped the table
like, but I thought the whole bit was that we were going to pretend that Moira died and that Todd did like a good thing.
No.
Right?
No. Nope.
No.
No?
When he finally does a good thing, we'll give him credit.
Yeah.
No, but it was going to be like, we were gonna roast him subtly for years.
Well,
we're good at that.
We were talking about this at like 1 a.m. yesterday, and yeah. I was a little drunk.
Okay, so Moira Brown, who died?
Yeah,
who died?
We miss dearly because Todd Howard had the courage
to let us nuke Megaton
and kill
every single person
in Megaton and prematurely end the biggest quest in Fallout 3. All right,
well, at least side quests.
I think it's longer than the main, though.
Well, no, because the main is, like, multiple... like, it has... whatever. I'm not gonna...
Yeah. I think that side quest may still have more
Fallout 3 missions. Sucks. And that quest is enormous.
Yeah.
That's my point. All right. So, where can they find us?
At Bad Playstyle on Twitter.
If you want to send us corrections, manifestos, dick pics, and game codes, you can contact us at badplaystyle@gmail.com.
Or gum. I really need some gum.
Gum.
Yeah. Email us some gum.
Yeah.
We're not handing out any chicken hat points, which is our checks and balances system to make sure people actually play the games.
Do we have a tally on chicken hats yet?
I'm not. I do that later.
I think I have one.
Yeah. Well, you have
Maybe two?
Maybe, no, because, okay, so if you think it, you have a tiebreaker and one.
Ah, right,
so, because
right.
So, for Fallout, I argued in your behalf because of the precedent set by whatever.
Yeah.
Sam Fisher versus. So.
I think Sam loses in Shadowrun.
No.
He's
Sam's
literally
like a fucking Lone Star exec.
Okay, so this is I think one of, much like Fallout, this is one of the only environments like that theoretically exists that Sam thrives in more than the environment
than
he comes
where he's from. Okay,
right. So this is an environment where people die so often, right? Like, you're just like, oh yeah, hey, what happened on Friday? Oh, like, everybody died. I'm so glad you called out Zik, right? Because some Shadowrunners came through and they're not good at sneaking, so they just brought grenades, right?
I think Sam's political ideologies hurt him, though. I think he's too loyal
to the United States?
To anything.
Okay, well, so...
for Shadowrun to work.
So, but, like, that's fine, because you have Shadowrunners who have, like, ideals, and they're...
Well, who's to say he's a fucking runner, you know?
Yeah.
Sure.
He might just be some, like, military douchebag in UCAS, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's where my mind went. It's like, he's going to sidle up at the establishment. Yeah.
Okay. All right, sure. So you think he's doing, like, Shadow Wars versus as technology proxies
in
South America?
Totally.
Hell yeah.
I think that's 100% what he's doing.
Totally.
Yeah.
And winning.
Yeah, and winning. Because that dude probably has an essence score of 0.7.
That guy fucks.
I bet he's huge. Like, all the cyberware?
Yeah.
Like, what if he's just, like, gigantic?
Did Sam Fisher turn into an ogre?
No. He's human.
No? He's definitely still human?
No, he's definitely still human. That dude has too much, like, self-identity as a white man to not be a human after globalization.
Okay.
Like,
that's fair. No, he's too human.
Yeah. Like, yeah. That dude's rolling around with, like, full suites of Delta-grade hardware from fucking, like, tip to tip, man. Like,
yep. He's running that chill and sneaking into shit.
Yeah, he's like, oh, are you saying that you could cybernetically remove my desire for sexual interaction?
Or eating.
That would make killing
sleeping.
People so easy.
wait, you can put all this in my body and all I can do is kill people? Yes.
Like, you can turn off my need for sleep? I can just eat these bags? These bags of white goo? Neato! Let's do it.
I don't need MREs, I need white goo.
You're telling me my arm's gonna reload my handgun for me? Neat.
Yeah, so the Sam Fisher wins.
Yep. Sam Fisher wins versus...
Sam Fisher excels in Shadowrun.
Yeah, I think early on in his tenure as a person in the Shadowrun universe, a dragon finds him and goes, yoink.
You.
That's mine.
This is a good one.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's
wet work galore.
Yeah. You're done with your new name on December the 14th.
Woo!
We are playing...
Mark of the Ninja Remastered, because it just came out, and that's a cool game.
And if you're interested, Owen is playing it on the Switch, he'll have some
extra... This is the first time we'll have multiple platforms.
Yeah.
We'll have some stuff to say about that, but it's been an amount of time. I hope that you listened to all of it.
We're going to do Sneaky Ninja shit later.
Most of it, and I love 40% of you.
Music is made by my good friend Benjamin Busey. You can find his SoundCloud at soundcloud.com/basicbenji206.